You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to another edition of William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. I am Ben Barrett. It's been a brilliantly busy day today with huge action at both Doncaster and Cheltenham. And to break it all down for us, I'm delighted to say I've been joined in the studio by Alistair Jones. How are you, sir?
Very well, thank you.
You've been part of the William Hill Racing Radio team with Luke Elder as a last-minute call-up and Mark Walton. Have you been on good form between you?
We've had a few winners. Not too bad, yeah.
Enough?
I'd say so.
Never enough, surely.
Just enough. Enough to keep the wolf from the door.
That's all we need sometimes. It's been a really good, high-quality day of action today. We're going to talk a little bit about Santini and about Paisley Park in just a moment. But if I'm going to give you free rein, what else, either at Doncaster, Cheltenham, or anywhere for that matter, has impressed you, has raised the eyebrow somewhat today?
Well, Cheltenham has obviously stole the headlines, if you like.
Yes.
I'd say the opening juvenile race was probably a good trial for the Fred Winter as opposed to the Triumph. You know, you could chuck a blanket all over them turning in. I don't think the form is particularly strong, but a good day for, you know, the connections of Galahad Quest. Nick Williams, you know, he's not a trainer that, you know, Trials Day isn't all about Cheltenham Close, is it? It is
yes.
A big day in its own right with good prize money. And Galahad Quest is a horse heading in the right direction, but I think he's more of a Fred Winter type. The novice handicap chase, the form is always rock solid. I don't know if you remember the Giant Bolster winning this about 7 or 8 years ago off a mark of 145 and then went on to obviously finish placed in the Gold Cup. The form of that race is always strong, and I think Simply the Bets and Imperial Aura came a long way clear. They were, you know, 11 lengths clear of the rest. Both of those, clearly they're going to, I guess the connections of Imperial Aura will be a little bit miffed because they knew this horse was well handicapped. He's bumped into one. He's going to go up 7 or 8 pounds for getting beat, which is annoying. But that is really rock solid form, and I can see both those horses holding their own in stronger races at the festival. Kepage, of course, won the Grade 3 chase there. He won that off 154, so he's going to go up to 160-ish. That brings him into the Ryanair.
Okay,
you know, sort of range. Can I see him winning it? Probably not, but I think that's what he'll run in. And then Harry Sini, I've got to mention him. I thought he really took my eye in the Grade 2 novices hurdle. You know, it'll be interesting. They'll probably go for the Ballymore, I'd have thought, over 2 mile. Is it 2 mile 4 or 2 mile 5? They've got the option of the Albert Bartlett as well. But I think having won over the course and distance today, you can see Harry Sini being a lively one against what is guaranteed to be a strong Irish contingent for that that opening race on day two of Cheltenham. But Harry Sini is a likeable horse. He does everything right. He jumps well, he settles well, and he wants to win. And he's run to a good level there today.
Harry Sr. taking the eye then. A lot of these runners, as you've mentioned today, have a lot of options.
Mm.
Does a day like today help or possibly muddy the water somewhat for connections when they see their horses or other horses running into certain levels of form? How much clarity can you get from the likes of today's racing?
Well, you know what they're capable of, but what they're going to run in at Cheltenham, who knows? That's the trouble with four-day festivals, isn't it?
Is it? Yes.
You know, I mean, now they're talking about having a fifth day.
Choices galore.
Which, absolutely, you know, if you look at Mr. Fisher today, who won the Grade 2 at Doncaster, that is, again, really strong form in beating Al Dancer. But it's impossible to have an anti-post bet on him. You might fancy the hell out of him for Cheltenham, but he's got the option of the Arkle. Today's race was over 2 miles, but obviously he stays further than that, so he's got the JLT or whatever it's called now.
Yeah.
So from an anti-post perspective, you know, it's an absolute nightmare at the moment, unless you know exactly what horse is going to go for.
Yeah.
Which obviously, like Paisley Park and Santini, great, but in terms of lower down the ladder, it's a bit of a guessing game still.
Absolutely fascinating the quality and quantity of racing that we've seen. I should just mention then a couple of William Hill Cheltenham Festival bets. First thing to note is that for all 10 of the handicap races between now and 48 hours before the race, we are 5 places on all of those handicaps. So if you are thinking that you know which way one may go or another, we will give you 5 places on all 10 of those handicap races up until 48 hours before the race. And if you're not sure, if you are looking at some of these horses that have options, we do have betting on just to win any race at the Cheltenham Festival. So you can take your chance with one of those that has options. And if you think that they're going to win, no matter which race they end up in, you can bet that way. Okay, on to the two big races of the day. And we'll start with Santini, the 225, the Cotswold Chase.
Santini is snapping there on the far side of him, only about a half length behind. Bristol to Midas, Santini in second. They're clear from Topville, Ben in third position. Slate House was pulled up the hill. Santini, furthest from us, is coming back at Bristol to Mai, and Santini is staying on the better as they race up towards the line, and it's Santini now 2 or 3 lengths ahead and wins.
Prior to the race, around about midday today, we had a special for Santini to win the Cotswold Chase and the Gold Cup. That was priced at 14-1. Immediately after winning the Cotswold Chase, Santini for the Gold Cup was trimmed in straight away to 7-1, has since had a little drift back out to 8-1. How did you see that race going? And if you were sat on that 14-1 double, would you be pleased with what you saw?
I'd be very pleased with what I saw, because he won't be 14-1. Well, he's not 14-1.
No, we're at 8-1 at
time recording. And he won't be, I can see him maybe 8s, 10s on the day. He won't be 14s. So you're ahead of the game already. Listening to Ken earlier as well, you know, there's a good chance this horse will come on for this one. You know, that he had the wind up since we last saw him, and the word was that he'd been sort of turned inside out by it. But he's a horse that does carry a lot of condition, and he can only go one way after today. You know, he should improve. He's beaten a horse that was placed in last year's Gold Cup in Bristol to Mai. I mean, they've come miles clear of everything else. Admittedly, Topville Ben is, you know, beneath the top class, but they've finished a distance clear of everything else. I mean, it's hard to knock the form.
No,
you're right. And, you know, this horse has been placed at, what, 2 Cheltenham Festivals already, in the Albert Bartlett, and, of course, last year's RSA, which is really strong form. It's a shame that Top of the Game isn't around this season through injury, but Delta Work has already franked that form in Ireland. If you've got 14-1 about the Gold Cup, then happy days.
Very nice indeed. You know, just to run through a few more of the Gold Cup prices: Album Photo, the current market leader, 9-2. Kenboy at 13-2. Lost in Translation, 7-1. Clan des Oboe at 8, along with Santini. And then it's Delta Work 9s, double figure prices for everything else. Presenting Percy at 10s and bigger the rest.
It's a very open Gold Cup. I mean, take Album Photo out of the equation, for instance, because horses just don't win that race back to back unless you're Kato Star, best mate. You know, and it's a serious statistic, you know, horses going back, defending their crown. It just doesn't happen. And he wouldn't be in their class. I'd be dead against Album Photo. I really would.
Even this early?
I would be, because, like, you know, winning a Gold Cup can end your career, you know, it can.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you look at Mike Bite. Native River, admittedly, is he keeps coming back from all, but he's ultra tough. But that race Mike Bite had in the Gold Cup with Native River has virtually ended him, I think.
Okay,
you know, he just looks completely gone at the game.
Different.
Never underestimate what it takes out of a horse to win that race, and I just, you know, I'd be dead against I wouldn't back Album Photo at 10s, let alone 9-2.
Wow.
You know, I'd much prefer your young up-and-comers coming through. Lost in Translation, Clan des Oboe, you know, Santini, Delta Work, even Presenting Percy, you know, didn't run his race last year. It's an intriguing race. It's a great betting race, because you're getting, you know, they should really be, you know, what they're betting, 13-2 Kenboy. To me, that's what they're betting. They're sort of betting 6-1, 13-2 the field.
Wow. That's the Gold Cup, 13th of March. Looking forward to it already. It's getting ever closer. One of the races today was listed as the 45 days until the Cheltenham Festival race, so we are getting there ever so slightly. Now, we're recording this literally minutes after the Cleve Hurdle, where Paisley Park justified favouritism at 4-6. Again, we had another one of these cross doubles. Paisley Park to win the Cleve Hurdle and then go on to win the Stayers Hurdle. Again, at around about midday, that was 7-4. Same question. If you were sat on that 7-4, after what you've seen from Paisley Park today, how are you feeling?
What's he now for the stayers?
10-11.
Yeah. Tickle pink I'd be if I'd got 7-4. I mean, I thought today was his stiffest test yet. This was probably as stiff a test as what he faced at Cheltenham last March.
Really?
With Somerville boy and if the cap fits in opposition. I don't know what happened to if the cap fits. It was a very flat run and he's better than that. But Somerville boy has definitely run to form. But Paisley Park has basically toyed with him. And he looked in a bit of bother at one point, but he always does, you know. He hits that flat, but he's just lazy and bone idle, but he's so talented. And if you look at the race again, you know, he's just done nothing up the hill. His ears are pricked, he's looking around, he's literally, you just sense that he will always finish the job this horse. He doesn't keep things simple at all. He makes things hard for himself in fact. But it's like we were saying, if he was human, he would literally be, he'd be outside Tesco having a spliff. You know, he's just that laid, he's that laid back. You know, he's like, God, everything comes so easy to him. And today, even though it looked hard work, I guess if you look at it at first glance, if anything, he's only enhanced his reputation even more. And, you know, everything on that third day at Cheltenham are going to be relying on him fluffing his lines.
Indeed.
You know, because if he runs as he can, then he's past the post, really. He'll take a... You can't see anything beating him. There's nothing, you know...
Should we run through a couple of them now?
Yeah,
Paisley Park has gone from 5-4 into 10-11. Benidorm just sits then at 6-1. Somerville Boy at 12-1. City Island 14s. Lorena 16s. If the cap fits, has drifted somewhat. That's gone from a single figure price out to 16-1. Champ then at 16-1. The third race, the third runner in that race today, Lisnagar Oscar, has come in significantly to 33-1 for the stayers hurdle. Is there anything in there that can get close?
The only one grey area would be Benny Dadu, but she's not going to run. I mean, she's going to run in the mayor's race, you'd have thought. That's what they've said.
Fine.
Again, that's the trouble with the four-day festival, maybe five-day festival. We'll be saying that in 5 years. And you want to see the best horses taking each other on, and she's going to go for the mayor's race, which is going to be a penalty kick. You know, we want to see her taking on the best. This is what Cheltenham's about, and it's given connections the options of dodging the bullet, if you like, you know. And who wouldn't want to take on, I mean, Paisley Park is a formidable opponent, and I think the Mullins team will watch that today and just think, we might as well just take the penalty kick at the mayor's race, you know. And which is a shame, but no, I can't. That's the answer to your question. City Island's going to revert back to hurdles by all accounts, but he's not looked the same horse this season. Going to Cheltenham on the back of defeats over fences, it's a massive ask to beat a horse like Paisley Park, who is just, you know, the top dog in the staying division by some way.
That wraps up a couple of key races on Saturday. No doubt that there's a lot of water to go under the bridge between now and the Cheltenham Festival, and you can be sure that williamhill.com has all the betting covered. Thank you very much for that. Let's have a little look ahead to a couple of races tomorrow. The quality isn't quite the same, let's say, being polite. Nevertheless, a couple of good races. We've picked a couple at Fontwell to talk about. We'll start with the 250 at Fontwell. It is a handicap chase, class 5, 2 miles and 2 furlongs. I'll just run through a couple of the runners in the betting first. Britannio Bello, 4-1, is Shivers, also 4-1. Kapupa Cap, 5-1. Cap Horner, another cap, is 6-1. Remember Me Well is 6-1. O'Reilly is 8-1. 9-1 for Brother Bennett. Double figure prices for Sky Full of Stars. Bajardo, the Mighty Ash. We have 10 to choose from then. Would you like to mention one, talk about a couple? Because it looks fairly competitive.
It is an open race. It's not that... I don't think it'll take a great deal of winning.
Okay.
Despite it looking so open. I mean, the one I'm going to go for is number 2, Chivers, who is a course and distance winner.
Yep.
Formerly with Gary Moore. Actually used to be with Daniel Steele, who he's returned to now. He was 5-4 for this race 12 months ago. He finished 4th. Didn't run his race whatsoever, but he's better than that. He's only had 2 runs back with Daniel Steele. The first was really encouraging, finishing 2nd over fences. And his last run, he wasn't disgraced either. That was returning to hurdling. Niall Houlihan takes off 7. I just think if this was even a repeat of that penultimate second on his first run back with Daniel Steele, on a course he really does like, I think that could well be sufficient to take this.
Okay, so that seems fairly simple then, because it seems it's currently only in the market as a joint favourite. Britannio Bello also sat there at 4-1. What's stopping these two being separated?
Well, former stablemate Britannio Bello, of course, he is trained by Gary Moore. He's 0-10 over fences. The trouble with this horse, he can take a real pull in his races, which is why he's yet to win over fences, basically. He's talented, and he, in fact, mark of 85, we know he can win off that, but he just doesn't make life easy for himself. Like I said, he's not a tempting mark, but I just think the selection is a safer proposition at similar sort of odds.
Okay, fair enough. Shivers, 4-1 currently in the betting. That's the 250 at Fontwell. We're going to scoot forward one whole hour to the 350 at Fontwell. 2 miles, 5.5 furlongs. Another handicap chase for class fives. Bermio, 7-2 favourite. The Brothers, also 7-2. Another joint favourite situation for this one. This is the 350 at Fontwell. Redmond is 9-2. This Briac is 6-1. It's double figure prices for Arc Bruiser, Lick Penny Larry, Soar Like an Eagle, and Son of the King. They're all 10-1. Then Chainsmoker is 12-1, the outsider of the lot. A couple of joint favourites. Is it one of those we're going with again?
Yeah, it is. The Brothers, who... Okay. This horse is 0-18, so he's no wind machine.
No.
But I like the fact that... I do like the trainer. I think Robert Walford's a really good trainer. Gets the best out of what he's got. This horse has only had 4 runs for Walford, but they've all been respectable, you know. And what I like with this horse is the fact they're putting blinkers on, because he definitely needs some headgear. He's just a bit lazy and idle in his races, and he does hit a flat spot. And I just think if the blinkers have the desired effect, then he's definitely capable of winning off a mark of 97. And... you know, soft ground's what he's all about. 2 mile, 5 round Fontwell, stiff finish. I think it'll suit him down to the ground. Yes, there's an element of risk. You know, it's a bit of a grey area with the first time headgear, but I think it's been overdue, really, with the Brothers. And I can see him, if he puts his best foot forward, then he can definitely win races off a mark of 97.
Can I just ask a quick question regarding the jockey? Rex Dingle is on board the other joint favourite, Bermio. Rex Dingle was actually the last jockey to ride both of these, Bermio and the Brothers. Is it in any way, shape or form significant that Rex is on Bermio this time rather than the Brothers, or not? Or am I just plucking that out of thin air?
He's a good jockey, Rex Dingle. He's value for nothing, isn't he? £3, that £3 is like gold dust in a race like this, but... Stan Shepherd's ridden the Brothers, I'm sure he has.
Yeah, the last three times prior to that one single Rex Dingle run.
Yeah, I don't know where maybe Stan Shepherd was doing his Christmas shopping that day, I don't know. But was it?
On the 7th of January, probably not.
For next year.
It's very keen. He's very, very keen, Stan.
He was bargain hunting.
He was. He's January sales, getting involved.
Yeah, getting all the decks and that for next year. It's the time to do it, isn't it? I think we might be barking up.
I think, I've just plucked something out of thin air there to try and make a little bit more conversation on the joint favourites.
This is Stan Shepherd's ride, I think, so don't let that concern you.
In that case, brilliant. The Brothers, one of two joint favourites at the head of the betting, alongside Shivers, one of two joint favourites at the head of the betting. The 250 and the 350 at Fontwell, covered in full. Thank you so very much for joining us on the Daily Racing Podcast today.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you. Cheers.
Racing Radio is available on Alexa smart speakers. Just enable the William Hill Racing Radio skill or say, "Open William Hill Racing Radio," and leave the rest to us.
Thank you to Alistair Jones for joining us on the Daily Racing Podcast. Now, over the past few days, I've been trying to bring you a little Brucey bonus or two, whether it be taking a preview from the retail team and giving you guys the audio. But today, I've got something a little bit different. I'm delighted to say that I've been joined by one of our broadcast colleagues here, Lucy Hughes. Lucy, how are you?
Hello, good, thanks, Ben. Good to be here.
Good, I'm glad that you're here. Just a little bit of background. You're part of the broadcast team here, but you also have much more experience within the racing industry. You work with ITV amongst a whole host of other things.
Yeah, I work for ITV Racing most weekends or every other weekend. Do a bit of writing for my local newspaper, horse racing column. Huge horse racing fan. Do a bit of riding out. So a bit of all sorts.
Lucy
and William Hill, of course.
And William Hill, most importantly, yes, of course. Lucy Hughes knows her stuff when it comes to horse racing. Now, we've asked Lucy to come in here and talk about one of the bigger races in Ireland tomorrow. We've got not one, but two Grade Threes on the Nace card over in Ireland. And the one we're going to talk about is the 140. It's the Limestone Lad Hurdle. Grade Three, as we've mentioned, exactly 2 miles, well, 1 furlong, 7 furlongs and 180 yards, so all but makes no difference, 2 miles. And we've got 7 to choose from here, Lucy. We've got an odds-on favourite in Stormy Island, 9-2 for Off You Go. Mengli Khan is 6-1, Sutton Place, 7-1, 8-1, Franco Deport. Jetez is 16-1, Big Blue is a big price at 33-1. Lucy, we've got an odds-on favourite. Are you with or against Stormy Island?
I'm against Stormy Island.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, I'm afraid.
No, it's good.
Willie Mullins has 2 in the race. Gordon Elliott has 2 in the race. I'm going to side with the Gordon Elliott horse this time. Mengli Khan.
Okay.
Who is... Oh, he's a class horse on his day. Always runs into the placings. He's a horse that I've always followed from day one.
Okay.
His last win was over this distance of 2 miles. So recently he's been running over much further distance, dropping back for this race 2 miles, and his last win was over 2 miles on good ground. So trip's not a problem, ground's not a problem. I really like Mengli Khan. Luke Dempsey takes the ride. I thought Gordon Elliott's other runner was of interest, Sutton Place, who at the time of talking is 7-1, I believe, in the betting. Yeah, for JP McManus. Actually won this race in 2017.
Okay.
And yeah, returning to this race after a fairly long layoff. Well, we last saw him 721 days.
Yeah, ago. And that was a pulled up result over at Leopardstown. Mm-hmm. Does that concern you at all?
Obviously, returning off the back of an injury, I'd have thought. But Gordon Elliott must have him in good shape to place him first time out in this race. Of course, he was the winner of this race in 2017. Good jockey booking Mark Walsh, but we should have a word on the favourite, because Stormy Island, she is the class horse, the form horse.
Hattrick Seeker.
Yes, Hattrick Seeker. She was second at Cheltenham Festival last year. That was in the Grade One mare's hurdle behind Roxana. She, as I say, is the form horse, class horse, but she's down in trip in this Nace contest.
Okay.
So I think she prefers a further trip, a more of a test. So she might be caught off foot with a couple of the big boys.
Really? Well, there you go. So we're going to take on the 4-5 shot. We say that Stormy Island is likely to be the form horse in the race. So you may well consider, listeners, maybe a little bit of forecast action, each way action, as Mengli Khan at 6-1 and Sutton Place at 7-1 are not exactly the shortest prices in the field. So there's lots to play with in this Nace race.
Mm, yeah, I'm going to side with the Mengli Khan. He's a horse I've always liked. Always runs into the placings. Doesn't mind the trip. His last win was over this trip on good ground. So I'm not sure what the weather forecast is doing out there, but if it's drying up, all the better.
Even better. We're hoping for dry weather to get Mengli Khan home. That's the 140 at Nace. Lucy, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Ben.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.